The following is a presentation of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. It's time to go on the mat. The Cedar Valley's longest-running radio show devoted entirely to wrestling. Brought to you by Rolling Ford and the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome to On the Mat. I am Kyle Klingman of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum. Welcome to our final show of 2017. It's been an interesting year. Scott Fensloff, as always, is at the helm of the radio studio. Scott, it's been an interesting year. We've had rotating guest host Doug Van Gelder split ways with us. He went and took a teaching job at Cedar Falls High School. And so it's just been a unique year, and we end the year with another guest host.
Yeah.
And it's been fun to have these.
Sounds like we're going to have another great guest host today here, and looking forward to it.
I'm excited about it because we tried to have him on about 3 months ago, I'm going to say, and we got disconnected. And the person we're talking about is Sugar Shane Sparks. He's on the Big Ten Network. You can see his work there. He's the interviewer. He does a fantastic job. And then he's also working with TrackWrestling.com. Sugar Shane, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Kyle. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. A real thrill to be on the show. You're one of the best guys I know in this sport, so this should be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. When you came on last time, we were going through your real name, which is Shane Nabel. I said Nebel initially, but it's Shane Nabel. Tell us why it got changed to Sparks, because I think it's a great story.
Yeah, long story short, I had done a sports radio show in Appleton, Green Bay Market in Wisconsin, and they had thrown me into the show, I think kind of as a test run, and the guy that was the leader of the show was a guy named Jim Caston. He's a legend in Fox Valley Sports in Wisconsin. Jim had been there about 20 years, and I got in and put me on the air, and he said, "Hey, what's your name?" I said, "Shane." He goes, "Last name, Nabel." He goes, "Nope, you're Shane Sparks." And that was literally the end of it. No questions asked. That was it. And then I had done the sports talk show for about 5 years, and then after that, I had ventured off and started my own website, BadgerStateWrestling.com, and it was all videos and interviews of Wisconsin wrestling. So when I started that business, I figured it just made sense to keep Shane Sparks, because that's where people knew me in the wrestling community, and that's got a nice little ring to it. So proud to have it, and I always joke with Jim about him giving me that name.
We're on the mat with Shane Sparks of the Big Ten Network and TrackWrestling.com. We're actually going to end the year on something different. We actually have a series of questions that I haven't come up with, but they are all from a man you know named Jim Makovsky. He's the head wrestling coach at Minnesota State Mankato. You ready to dive into these?
I am ready to dive in. These ought to be good from Jimmy Mack.
Yep. So this is question number one. Where does your curiosity come from? Were you always curious?
You know what, man, it's going to make me think a little bit. I'm not really sure. I mean, I just have an interest to learn new things. I think as much as I like to talk, one thing that I've learned in my 42 years on this earth is God gave you two ears, one mouth. Probably be smart to listen twice as much as you talk, which is still always a challenge for me. But you can learn a lot of stuff, and I think you're always better served if you want to learn about anything in particular. Go to the people that know it; they know more than you do. It pains us to admit that sometimes, but people in specific fields. You know, it's always interesting that everybody thinks they know everybody else's job no matter what. Like, armchair quarterbacks and stuff like that. I mean, I'll use Tom Brands as an example. Tom Brands knows more about the Hawkeye wrestling program than anybody else does. No matter what you think, trust me, he knows better than you do, right? So that's where that comes from.
All right, the next question in the Jim Makovsky line of questioning. If you could interview anyone from any walk of life, who would it be and why?
I'll tell you what, for me, I think it would be Vin Scully. I think Vin Scully is the best play-by-play guy of all time. I don't think it's even close, and I would love to sit down and interview him. Vin Scully would be my top guy.
Okay, next question. Do you struggle sleeping? Are there thoughts going through your mind all the time?
You know what? I do. I mean, just a lot going on, just a lot going on, and yeah, sometimes it's difficult to completely disengage. So, I'm usually always tossing and turning, and it just the way it is. I'm used to it is what it is, and don't expect it to change. So if anybody's got any hints on how to, you know, help with that, let me know.
All right. The next isn't a question, but it's just a request. He wants me to ask you to tell the story about when you threw away your comfortable life to follow your passion for wrestling.
Oh man, that's a crazy 6-hour long story. Everybody always tells me I should write a book on this. Long story short, I was just I was doing pretty well. I was early 20s, had my own house, nice fancy car, was doing pretty well financially, but I didn't love what I was doing, and I just did not love what I was doing. So I took a chance and left behind, a really good job and in a really, pretty good situation where I think I could have, been pretty successful. But I just didn't love what I was doing, so I sold everything that I had. And what I remember most about it is I went out to radio school in Phoenix, Arizona. It was like a 5 or 6 month course. And I just remember what's so important is be kind to people. And, my faith's important to me, and I always just, trust in God that he knows more than I do, so just kind of let him steer the ship. And I ended up getting some really good breaks. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. I had a few situations that happened to me that, 100% God doing his work in my life, hands down. So what I'll never forget was I had gotten a job in Milwaukee. And I was, at this time I'm about 26 years old. I had gotten a job in Milwaukee, and I was covering the Brewers, and my job was to be, this was in 2002, my job was to go into the visitor's clubhouse and get 6 quotes, normally from the manager, combination of the manager, starting pitcher, offensive guys that were good that day. And then I would send it back to Scottsdale, Arizona, and those quotes would go on, hundreds of radio stations across the country. And I'll never forget the first time I got to do that. I had, again, sold all my stuff, and I was driving a 1988 Plymouth Grand Fury. No air conditioning, paid $500 for it. I mean, this was the biggest boat, no style, nothing. So I'm driving that thing to Miller Park, and it was a pretty hot day. I was making $6 an hour, donating plasma so I could pay for the gas, because I lived an hour and a half away. And I'll just never forget driving to Miller Park and thinking to myself, looking at I took the mirror and I kind of glanced and I just kind of had a, one-on-one with myself, talking to myself. I mean, nothing's changed there. And I just looked at myself. I'm like, man, a year ago you were doing this, this, and this, and had this, this, and that, and now you're making $6 an hour, driving an hour and a half to work one day, and you've never been happier. And I'll just never forget that. And that, that's what kind of got me into the broadcasting side of things, and was able to get a sports talk show, which it's tough to do. I'm always appreciative and blessed to know that I had those opportunities, and obviously had a passion for wrestling, and then I was able to, work my way into some opportunities with wrestling, and it's just been a pretty cool ride, so very thankful for it.
We're on the mat with Shane Sparks of the Big Ten Network and TrackWrestling.com. This is our final show of 2017, and make sure you stick around. We have a couple really interesting guests. We have Dwayne Watson of Allendale, Michigan. He's the high school wrestling coach. He helped extensively with the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum the last couple years. You want to hear his insight and how he approaches the sport of wrestling. That's a critical interview. And then we have Lonnie Morris to close out the year. He is the head wrestling coach at Johnson & Wales in Rhode Island. They are the top-ranked Division III team in the nation right now. We're going to talk with him. We are continuing our segment with Shane Sparks and our interview questions from Jim Makovsky, head wrestling coach at Minnesota State Mankato. These questions are not over, Shane. We keep going on. Do you have anyone in the media world that you model your style after?
God, that's a good question. These are all great questions. Not really. I don't think I model my style after anybody. I try the best I can to maybe model my approach. I mentioned Vin Scully before. I mean, I think Vin Scully, you watch him do a Dodger game, and his preparation is unbelievable. I don't think it matters what you do in life. You better be prepared. So when you listen to Vin Scully, you can tell the guy is so, you know, he's so well prepared. So that's really the only thing that I try to, just being prepared. As far as style, I would say not really, not at all, actually. I just try to be myself, and that's that.
All right, next question. Your favorite book and the last good book you've read?
Gosh, I'm really embarrassed. Really embarrassed to say this. I had this conversation with Andy Hamilton, who is, I think, about as good as it gets. And I do not read. I mean, it's probably the lack of, you know, being able to stay focused for extended periods of time. That's not one of my strengths. Wound pretty tight. So I don't do a lot of reading. So I'm gonna take a little bit of a different angle on this one. The last best piece of work I read was an article that Andy Hamilton wrote. This has got to be, you know, when Daniel Dennis made that Olympic team. So Andy Hamilton wrote a piece that was, it was the best article I've ever read wrestling-wise. I got done with it. I knew Andy a little bit. I didn't know him nearly like I do now. But I remember getting done with that, and I called him up. I'm like, I got to have some more of that. I got to have some more. It was just an awesome article on Daniel Dennis's, you know, path to winning that spot on the Olympic team in Rio. So that was the last best piece I read. And I love reading the stuff that we put out on Track Wrestling. Nick Corey does a thing called Nick's Quick Sticks on Mondays. He had one that I read this morning from this past week, and that was pretty good. And Win Magazine. I think those guys at Win, you know, Mike Finn, Brian Van Clay, yourself, Kyle. I mean, I think Win Magazine is a must have for any wrestling fan, and always appreciate the articles in Win.
All right, thoughts on writing time?
I love it.
You love writing time, huh?
I'm probably pretty rare on this one. I like writing time. I like what it does to strategy. I like how, you know, you break guys in that top position. That's where you break them mentally. And I've always been a big fan. Most people probably not in my camp, but I think riding time, I like it. I mean, does it get stale sometimes as far as the guy riding, just riding parallel, riding to ride, not to turn? Sure. That's where I think some improvements can be made. But all in all, riding time, I'm a fan. I like it.
All right. We continue with just a couple more of the Jim Mikofsky questions. He is the head wrestling coach at Minnesota State Mankato. We are on the mat right now with Shane Sparks of the Big Ten Network and TrackWrestling.com. Give an example of one thing where we are our own biggest enemy in the sport of wrestling.
All right. This is the first. I didn't give this any thought. I didn't know these questions were coming. So this is the first thing that popped in my head. I think it's just the way that we look. That's the one that popped out in my head right away when you asked the question. I'm just a big believer that look good, feel good. I think at tournaments and stuff, and I get it. I mean, I get it. Coaches are running all over the place, coaching their kids, so I understand that. But I think at the end of the day, I think we could look better. I think we could present ourselves better at tournaments, duels. I'm not sure how they do it anymore, you know, but I remember when I was in high school, again, this going back 25 years, but when you had a dual meet, I mean, you looked good. I mean, it was, you know, shirt and tie, you looked apart. And I'm going to throw a real quick story in on this, too. This is real quick, but this is awesome. So, and I texted this to Hamilton about 3 weeks ago. So I went back, Kyle, and here's another interview. If I could go back to another question. My favorite college wrestler of all time is Chad Zapital. I've never met him, and I've been so lucky to meet so many people in this sport. I've never met Chad Zapital. That was my guy. Love Chad Zapital. And I went back a few weeks ago and actually listened to an interview I did with him maybe 6-7 months ago. It was fantastic, by the way. But one of my favorite pictures, I remember being a high school kid, and I would see Hawkeye brochures on the Hawkeye wrestling camps. And in that brochure, you would have, you know, Tom Brands, Terry Brands, Chad Zapital, Mark Ryland, Bart Shelsvig, whoever they were that were the camp counselors, and they all had, like, an awesome picture. All those Hawkeye guys had a picture on with a jacket, white shirt, black and gold tie. And I thought those were the coolest-looking pictures. And I remember a few weeks ago, I found one on Google. It was Zapital. I sent it to Hamilton. I said, someday, man, you know, in another life, I'm going to get to take this picture. I think it looks good. You see some of these programs, they got their warm-ups on. It's just my own opinion. I think it looks it just doesn't look big time. And I think with those programs, when they, you know, when they get those guys in their shirt and tie or whatever and take the mugshot, I mean, I just think it's, I think it spells big time. So I think we could look better. Nothing wrong with looking good.
All right. We will stop with those. Every week we pick a guest where we put that person into the hot box. Five questions to make you sweat. Sugar Shane Sparks, are you ready to go into the hot box?
I am ready. This is a lot of fun. I got the lather going. Let's do it.
All right. Question number one. Name three athletes who use the surname Sugar.
Man, Sugar Shane Mosley, he's the one that comes to mind. That's all I got. I think it's Shane Mosley.
I mean, you can't think of, like, Sugar Ray Leonard, maybe.
Oh, man. Sugar Ray Robinson.
Sugar Ray Robinson.
Sugar Ray Robinson,
so.
Boxer, yeah. Sugar Ray Leonard, boxers.
Okay.
I can't think of anybody else that's not a, you know, those guys.
That's all I got, too. So I'm actually going to give that to you because I just got you steering in the right direction. So we're going to give that to you. All right. You live in Wisconsin. Name three wrestlers from Wisconsin who have made an Olympic team.
Garrett Lowney, Lee Kemp. Actually, Lee Kemp's not for, well, I don't know if you'll count Lee.
I won't count Lee Kemp, so you keep going.
Garrett Lowney, Dennis Hall, and let's see here. I should know this. Jim Grunewald ever make an Olympic team?
He did.
He did. There you go, Jim Grunewald.
Or I would have accepted John and Ben Peterson and Ben Askren.
There you go.
Those would be in the mix, too. Okay. You got question two. Question number three. You have a beautiful head of hair. Would you shave your head for $500?
If it was going to some kind of a charity, probably. Otherwise, absolutely not.
Okay.
But it's starting to thin, Kyle.
Okay.
A little nervous. It's starting to thin on the top left side.
All right.
So I hope I can hang on for a couple years yet.
The Big Ten Network approaches you and says you can be a character on Saved by the Bell, Beverly Hills 90210, Cheers, or Seinfeld, but you can only pick one. Which show would you choose?
I'm going Saved by the Bell. You have to. A.C. Slater and Company. I'm going Saved by the Bell.
I thought you'd say that. You get that right. All right, final question. Which current wrestling coach most resembles David Hasselhoff?
Oh, man. You know what? I'd maybe have to go with, you know, I've always said give credit where it's due. Look good. I'd maybe have to go with Tom Ryan. I'd have to go with Tom Ryan.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that one, so I'm actually gonna give that one to you because that one kind of I didn't see that coming. So
who are you thinking of?
Oh, I would have taken a slew of names. I guess I was thinking maybe like a Rob Cole or maybe a Brian Smith, but I think the Tom Ryan threw me for a loop, so I'm gonna give it to you. You're out of the hot box, 5 for 5. We have to close out this segment. It's been a lot of fun having you on the show, Shane. Let's make sure in 2018 we get you on again. And we'll hopefully see you at the Midlands, and we'll see you at a slew of wrestling meets this season.
This has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having me, and Happy New Year to everybody.
All right, appreciate it. That was Shane Sparks. We are closing out 2017 in style. Up next, Dwayne Watson. This is an interview you need to hear with Dwayne Watson, head wrestling coach at Allendale High School in Michigan. He's next on the mat.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When all you want is sports, all you need is 1650 The Fan.
We are back on the mat, 1650 The Fan. I'm Kyle Klingman of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum. Great interview with Sugar Shane Sparks. That was a lot of fun. It was fun to have a different take on that with Jim Makovsky sending in questions, and we didn't even get to all of them, Scott. We had we had two more, and I knew that we had to get to the hot box, and we had an opportunity to talk with Shane Sparks, and you get a chance to see him on the Big Ten Network. Our next guest to close out the year is my favorite high school wrestling coach on planet Earth. This guy is amazing. His name is Dwayne Watson. He's the head wrestling coach at Allendale High School in Michigan. And for the last 2 years, he's brought his team out, his coaches, and they've come and they've done work at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum, on their own. They want to do this work. They want to give back to the sport. And so to have Dwayne Watson on, someone that I think is just fantastic for the sport of wrestling, is truly an honor. Dwayne, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kyle. I appreciate your time.
Well, great having you on the show. Hey, just give us the background on what your mission is with doing these outreach projects. We've been the beneficiary of this, but what goes into your vision of why you want to give back to wrestling in this way?
Yeah, I guess it comes from my childhood. My parents grew up on a farm, 9 kids, and my folks made 11 in a family, and you'd think that they had their hands full raising 9 in a full old-fashioned family dairy farm. You'd think all they would be focused on is us, and it wasn't so. And so as I grew up, I watched them and naturally patterned my life after them. And, you know, the whole giving back wasn't something you think about. You just do it. And as I got into wrestling, I met up with another head coach, Ben Burke, in the football program, who had the same part, almost an identical upbringing to me as far as a family that has constantly sacrificed their own personal wants and desires for the greater good. And we kind of came together by fate, and it's made a great harmonious relationship at the athlete level as well as, you know, the community level and giving back. So it's kind of a tandem effort on the part of myself and Ben Burke.
And going back, did you grow up on wrestling? Was that something that you got from your dad early on?
Well, wrestling has always been part of my life. I was the youngest of 6 boys, so take a guess. No formal instruction until 6th grade gym class, and we did a 3-week unit on it, and then I didn't touch it again until high school, my sophomore year. And wrestling and struggling for the last pancake, wrestling and struggling to see who was going to throw the hay down, the hay, you know, the whole thing was physical and constant competition and battle. So kind of been there all my life.
How do you balance that when you talk about just even the struggle of maybe growing up on farm life and having that background where you have to work for everything and then go into a sport that's equally as challenging and you have to make weight? Did you find there was a reprieve in wrestling, or was it just more difficult upon difficult, or did you even know that it was difficult at the time because that's just what it was?
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You know, you didn't measure things as difficult. It was normal. And anybody that's been brought up on a farm, you know, kind of looks at wrestling as just another thing that you do. And that's really what it was. I cut a lot of weight when I was in high school back in the 70s. That's just what you did. And you did what you could to fit into the team to make the team better. But it was never looked at as a struggle. It's just what you did. That's all.
And so when you take that concept with wrestling and what you're doing with your wrestling team at Allendale, Michigan, do you feel like wrestling is giving athletes those skills that they might not get growing up? Because we do have pretty cush lives for the most part in this world. We don't have to work as hard maybe as you did. Do you feel like wrestling is that gap?
I really do. You know, as long as the parents will, you know, allow their son to hurt. And, you know, I kind of got chastised for that this summer with the interview with Andy from some people about saying the truth. And the truth is, wrestling does hurt. And it is one of those things. And if parents allow their children the liberty to hurt and experience and go through that pain, it's fantastic for them. It's just fantastic. I'll give you an example. One of our wrestlers, first year, 9th grade wrestler, cracked his pelvis, believe it or not, came to practice, did not practice, but came to practice. He was under his parents' supervision, and parents said, wow, that's really sore. We should take you in, and found out it was an MRI. He's got a cracked pelvis. And you know what? Mom said, well, can he do any upper body workout? Can he stay strong? That's the kind of parents that we need, not to hurt their child or anything, but not to also blow it so far out of proportion with the doctor's instructions. Yeah, he can do some stuff, even though he is hurt, you know? And so I think wrestling is a great venue for that.
We're on the mat with Dwayne Watson, head wrestling coach at Allendale High School in Michigan. Your team has come to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum, done work here, done work for Dan Gable. Let's start with the work that you've come and done in Waterloo, Iowa, for our organization. What do you want your athletes to get out of that experience coming to Waterloo and spending 3 or 4 days in our community?
Well, it's definitely something they don't get here in Michigan. Out there, and it may be this way in other parts of the country, it's not real well traveled, I guess, but here in Michigan, there is no news about wrestling. There is no icon here that everybody turns their head and reveres for, you know, out there. You've got Jim Miller, you got Coach Gable, you got, you know, just many, many, many people involved in the community. And as soon as you say one of those names, everybody turns their head. And in here, they don't get that. And if we take our kids out there and experience it, hopefully they too, they're going to fall in love with wrestling. They're going to find out that it is a big deal. It is a life-changing a proposition when you get involved with it. There are tons and tons and tons of people outside of Michigan that look at wrestling completely differently than we do maybe here.
And when they come, what's the response you get from the athletes when they come and have a service project? Because you work them hard. It's not only the wrestling practice, but they're filling potholes. They're doing a lot of laborious work at the museum and for Dan Gable, too. What do they say?
Well, you know, it's one of those things like we started off our conversation with. I really don't even want them to think that what they're doing is a big deal, kind of like we were talking at the beginning. It's just a matter of we're going to go do this, and we push through. And I don't even like to talk to them about how hot it is when you're, you know, dumping asphalt in and using a pickaxe. And I want them to just look at it as this is just what we're doing. Oh, is it hard? I don't know. I don't have anything to compare it to. We just do it. And that is exactly what the kids have come up with. Ben Burke, Phil Merrill, Fred Perez, Jay Fox, we all go out there with the same idea in mind. They're all of the coaches are also business-minded people, and it's just a matter. We go, we scope it out ahead of time, you know that, and we make a good guess as to what we can get done in the time that we're there, and we present it. Everything is ready before we go. The kids know every single step of what's going to happen, and so it's just go and do the job, period. It's just really, honestly, nothing that the kids aren't already expecting to do.
And then when you have a chance to do some work for Dan Gable, do the kids respond to that? Do they know the magnitude of that?
They have no clue.
They don't?
They do not.
Huh.
I talked to one mom today in the wrestling room, and she said her son is just now starting to read about Coach Gable and just now starting to revere the actions that he's performed throughout his lifetime. And just now is starting to turn to her and say, I saw him. I was at his house. I met Mrs. Gable. And there, a few of them, their eyes are starting to be pried open to the reality of how special it is that we've gotten to do those kind of things. But they really don't. As a whole, they don't know. They'll look back in years from now and they'll probably understand more, but right now they don't know.
Well, in a unique experience from my vantage point, I don't know that I've ever seen anything collectively come together like it did when Larry Owings, the last man to beat Dan Gable, or the only person in high school and college, happens to stop by the museum the day that you guys are there, talks to your team, and then you guys go down later that day and work for Dan Gable. In the history of our sport, nobody's ever listen to Larry Owings 1 minute, and then the next minute they're down at Dan Gable's house. You talk about the magnitude. I think you probably understand it, but there's probably all those kids that had to just go over their heads.
Yeah. We have that on the stump, you know.
Yeah.
Coach Owings gave us his three pieces of advice, so we burned it into the stump. And when I bring that up, of course, the new kids don't know what I'm talking about, and the older kids are starting to graduate. Now there's two sets of them going to be gone after this season. No idea the magnitude of how fate brought that all together. It was really beyond us.
Well, and tell us about the stump, because that's pretty cool what you do with that.
Yeah, the stump is very unique in that it was a three-faced stump. It was a tree in Coach Gable's yard, and as we were walking across the yard, Mike Doty was kind of the coordinator for all of the work that we do for Coach. And he said, pointed at this dead birch tree, and it had three good-sized trunks coming out of it. And he said, Coach, that tree's dead. Do you want them to cut that down? And Coach Gable said, well, I'd love to have it gone, but I don't want anybody doing anything with it because it's going to fall and hit my house. Well, long and the short of it is, Coach Gable wasn't there the next day when we did the work, so we cut it down safely, and the stump was left, and it was a three-faced stump, and so we cut that baby off and polished it up, and we learned three basic truths that summer. One came from Terry Brand's dad in the movie Terry that says you got what you earned. And so we put that on one face, and we had Terry and Tom, both coaches, sign that when they were wrestling at Michigan State last year. They autographed it. We have yet to get Mr. Brand's on there. And then we took it to Coach Gable's house. His advice to us that year in 16 was outwork your opponent, always outwork your opponent. And so we burned that on there, and he signed that. And then Larry gave us his advice on the far side, always help others, work hard, believe in yourself, and so on. And we have yet to get his signature on that side. And we take it to all our dual meets. We like I said, we sanded it all down, and we, you know, covered it with varnish, and we haven't done the faces yet until we get all the signatures we want on those. And we take it and put it at our dual meets, and the last thing the boys touch after they shake our hand and before they check it at the table is they swat the stump in the hopes that they're going to remember one of those pieces of advice, and hopefully it's going to help them if they're in a bad way out on the mat or if they're in a good way out on the mat. They're going to remember that, especially you get what you earn. And so kind of important now. It's kind of an iconic thing, and the boys don't forget to bring it very often. They're always taking turns dragging that stump along.
We are on the mat with Dwayne Watson. He's the head wrestling coach at Allendale High School in Michigan. His team has come to the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum and worked and been part of a team camp. And let's just talk about that for a second. We want to have this team camp going into next year, 2018. This was your vision on how we get there. We want to have six high school teams. Let's talk about how we get there, Dwayne, and what the vision is and what we can do with this program for athletes and how we're going to move forward going into 2018.
Yeah, thanks. To be fair, it was not just mine. It was Ben Burke, too, our head football coach, who has extensive wrestling coaching experience. Even was Casey Cunningham from Penn State's high school coach. He was assistant coach when Casey was going through the high school program. And you know, we're driving back from actually talking to you, and we're trying to figure out how can we increase foot traffic at the museum? How can we bring, you know, competition at the high school level without making these all-star teams that are all over the United States? How can we grow good, solid, homegrown teams with homegrown competition? And it just kind of went from there, and we have yet to meet our goal of six teams, but I think we're going to do it this summer if we keep fanning the flames. But if you're out there listening, we would love to have you. If you can bring half middle school kids, we're bringing middle school kids. We want to focus on high school eventually, but we'd really like to get six teams and make this thing work, a three-pronged approach to wrestling to give the kids a taste of Olympic-style freestyle wrestling, Greco wrestling, and folk style, so one day of each with a clinic in the morning and five dual meet competitions in the afternoon each day. You know, a total of 15 dual meet matches in 3 days. That's pretty good. And got some great instruction. And so it would be, you know, a real dream come true if we could make it work.
You mentioned Jim Miller earlier. He's 10-time national championship coach for Wartburg. You actually brought him out to Allendale to speak to your team and the football team. How did that go?
Oh, went great. Coach Miller has some attachments to the Grand Valley State University football coaching staff, and many of those coaching staff members were on staff at Wartburg at some point in their careers. And, of course, Coach Miller's personality just attracts competitive people to himself. And so he got a chance to talk to the Grand Valley State football team as well that afternoon. And then he spoke to our programs, wrestling program, football program, as well as our entire 9-12 student body. Kids were just, I mean, Coach Miller just broke down the walls of academia versus athleticism. You know, a lot of people scoff at jocks and you know, just say they're the dumb bunch and that kind of thing. Coach Miller broke all that down, and kids that were not athletic were going up to him afterwards and sharing their stories with him and vice versa. And the advice he left back with the boys, they've been using it all season long. So I'm really, really happy that we met Coach Miller. Number one, everybody needs to meet this guy and be under his tutelage, if it, nothing more than for a day. They would benefit right down to their soul. And I really, really have come to admire and respect Coach Miller.
What do you want an Allendale wrestler to have when he leaves your program?
Well, there's so many things, but I guess to have a work ethic that isn't stopped or isn't held back because you think you can't do something. I've had so many people over the years laugh about, oh, you're gonna go split wood for Coach Gable, or you're gonna add a wrestling room on, or you're gonna have a new science wing put on, or you're gonna enlarge your class. Whatever it was, it's so many people. I went back to school when I was 30, with, you know, raising a family of five. I sold my garbage business and so on. So many people laughed and said, "Yeah, you'll be back at your garbage business." And I just so badly want kids to understand that your work ethic will go so much farther than you think it will if you just believe and keep pushing yourself and outwork those people that come alongside you. So many more opportunities will make it into your life. I guess that's when I walk away from the program in a few years in retirement, that's what I want them to do, is push themselves and work hard and not believe that you can't do something. Just try it, and you're probably going to get closer than you would if you didn't try it, obviously.
Well, there's a reason that Dwayne Watson is my favorite high school wrestling coach. Thanks for taking this segment, talking about your team and your vision for what you're doing with the Gable Museum. We appreciate all that you do to invest in wrestling in our organization.
Well, you're welcome, Kyle, and thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right, that was Dwayne Watson. Up next, we have Lonnie Morris. He's the head wrestling coach at Johnson & Wales. They're number one in the nation in Division III. He's next on the mat.
Log on and listen online at 1650thefan.com, the online home of 1650 The Fan.
We are back on the mat, 1650 The Fan. I'm Kyle Klingman of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, Dan Gable Museum, our final segment of 2017. We've had great interviews so far. We had Sugar Shane Sparks in the opening segment. We had Dwayne Watson of Allendale, Michigan. What a fantastic interview. He just pours out, and it just is a part of who he is. Love that interview of both those guys. What a great way to end the year with Lonnie Morris of Johnson & Wales. It's right now the number one team in Division III wrestling. Congratulations on that. I know it's premature, but anytime you have rankings, Lonnie, it's a big deal. How are you today?
I'm good, man. It's definitely a something we've been working towards. But like you said, it's premature. I mean, Wartburg's getting their guys back here for second half, and but it is a great accomplishment for the program. We're only 20 years young.
Well, 20 years young, you're the very first coach that they hired when they brought this program around. You've been there since the inception. I think you started in 1997. So to put that in perspective, Wartburg won its first NCAA championship in 96. You guys started in 97. What was that first year like when you had to start with a new program?
A lot of driving. You drive to a tournament, you get there, weigh in. Wrestling will start at 10. All our guys would be knocked out by 1 o'clock, and we get back in the car and drive home. So a lot of recruiting back then. We started off with 4 kids in a club program, built it up to about 22, and then it was really just getting numbers and getting it going, and that's how we got started. But it was a lot of recruiting just to get the numbers and get people to start believing in the program.
Now, fill us in on Johnson & Wales. There's shirts, I think, that it says Johnson & Wales more than a cooking school, but you do have a culinary program there. Fill us in on what it's like at Johnson & Wales, what you guys offer, what the makeup is, the DNA of your program.
Yeah, basically, academically, we've had some famous alums come through in our culinary program, and by no means do I want to downplay our culinary program's world-renowned. It's one of the best in the world. But we are so much more. We were founded on business in 1914 by two women, Mrs. Wales and Mrs. Johnson. And, it's just basically a solid business school. We branched out into health sciences, bio now, and criminal justice. What's unique about our school is our upside down curriculum. Basically, kids are studying what they want to study right away versus their gen eds. And then basically, unique is, I think, our location. We're right in the hotbed of there's five institutions right in Providence, so it's truly a college city with Brown and Providence College and RIC, RISD. So we're all right there. So there's about 30,000 students right there in the city. And it's a good distance from New York and New Jersey, which, you, as you know, is very rich in wrestling. And we've been able to draw from those areas. And the other unique thing that we don't have school on Fridays because we have true block scheduling. So whatever you have on Monday, your classes will you'll have on Wednesday. And whatever your classes you have on Tuesday, you'll have on Thursday. So not having school on Fridays, kids never miss school for wrestling when we're traveling. And then when it's not wrestling season, kids are able to go home for different family functions. Even though they're away at school, they're not so far away that they can't make it back home.
Of course, Iowa has a great tradition, Oklahoma, Minnesota, the states in the Midwest. But Rhode Island, what's it like when you're ranked number one in the nation? Do you get respect from the university? Do people care? What's the vibe?
Well, I mean, I think we've been there so long. Brian Allen, my longtime assistant, you know, we've been there so long now that we have earned the respect, and people do respect our program, and we're treated we're not treated just like a Olympic sport. I mean, we're treated equally amongst the within the department and well respected. So I think that we are getting the recognition, but it's still Rhode Island and it's hockey country, and it's hard to get that love from the locals. We do have it going pretty good. When we have a dual meet, we usually draw between right around 1,500 people, and we're having a huge event this year at the Providence Performing Arts Center. It's one of the oldest theaters in New England. We're doing partner with Brown and Harvard, and Roger Williams will be doing that in February 8th. So we do have a good turnout for our dual meets and stuff, but it's still hard though, Kyle. We have to really hustle to really market and promote the sport, and my assistant coach does as good a job as anyone in the country. If you look at our social media, that's all him. But we've realized that if you want people to care, you got to care. And if you want people to, you know, respect the sport, you have to really put the time in to respect it yourself and value it. So that's what we've done.
I'm glad you mentioned the social media aspect, because your guys' social media is world class. I kind of went and looked at other Division III programs. Wartburg is hovering close to 2,000. You guys are close to 5,000 followers on Facebook, and that doesn't necessarily translate to anything other than just numbers, but numerically, you guys are doing some great things. Even when we had this show right away, there was a nice picture about the show where you could find it. You tagged everyone, and I'm assuming that's your assistant coach,
Brian Allen.
Yeah, how did you develop that? I mean, it really is. We've never experienced anything like it.
Yeah, it's really with Coit Cooper's movement. With the NWCA and Mike Moyer, and really just these grassroots efforts of really marketing wrestling and promoting wrestling. And it was at the convention. And as you know, this is a busy time for us right now for recruiting, and I do most of the recruiting. And Coach Allen, I really needed him to ramp it up in another area. And I said, hey, I came back from the convention. I said, hey, this is something that we're really pushing. What do you think? Do you want to try it? And he didn't just try it. He knocked it out of the park. And, I mean, he's exceptional at it. He likes it. He's got an eye for it. And it really makes our kids feel special whenever our kids are marketed the way that he does it. He does Halloween things for the kids and, you know, old pictures of kids when they were little kids in Halloween costumes. And he'll do something for Christmas, and he'll do something every single season. He's doing something marketing our program. And it's just – not to mention the true wrestling stuff that he does, but he's exceptional at it. I'm very, very, very grateful that he's part of our program.
We're on the mat with Lonnie Morris, head wrestling coach at the top-ranked Division III wrestling program in the country. He's the head wrestling coach at Johnson & Wales University. But as you know, this is a sport dominated by two schools, Augsburg and Wartburg. They've won every team championship since 1995. Your great quote when you were being interviewed about being the top-ranked team in the nation is you said, Wartburg is still Wartburg. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, basically, I mean, Coach Miller had built such a dynasty there. And when I was starting out as a young coach, him and Jeff Swenson were so humble and really helping the younger coaches. And, you know, it's and Eric was there still, and Eric's just really just taken and build it. He's just built upon what Coach Miller's done. And I'm not happy about he's starting to steal some of my New England kids up here. And, he's grabbed a couple really good local kids. And but it's one of those things where they got it rolling. And when you get it rolling, it's going to take a really strong effort from anybody else in the country to really make a run at them, because the other thing that they have that I think that the niche that Augsburg and Wartburg have had over the years is they have that Division I niche where they get a lot of transfers too, or mid-year transfers, where, you know, I'm not getting those mid-year transfers that some of those programs are getting. So I'm trying to develop that niche with some of the local Division I programs that maybe a kid's been buried on the depth chart, but it's just hard to get it. But they've got it rolling right now, and we're going to make a run at them. We the next couple of years we're very deep. I don't know if anyone has the guns to really knock them off, but we're gonna try like heck this year. That's for sure.
Well, you got a trophy last year. What did that do for your program?
Well, it's been a life as a coach. I mean, that's what you compete for. You compete to be mentioned with the elite names, and getting that actual national team trophy was significant for our program. It really just was something that really cemented us as saying, hey, we've arrived and we are one of the better programs now. And we've always been solid, but you got to remember, Kyle, for years, Brian and myself, we were longtime educators. I was a vice principal, a teacher. He's a teacher. We did this for the first 18 years of the program part-time. And, I'm handing out the tensions and suspensions, and then I'm rushing to practice and I'm trying to coach. And it was a bear. Now that I'm full time, it's really allowed the program to take another jump. And I'm able to do some things that other programs have always been able to do: morning workouts, doing in-home visits, all those other things that you can do that I really didn't have a chance to do when I was part time.
So with you, what's your great skill set that you can bring to that program? What do you feel like you excel?
I always say I have a kind of a football mentality. Coaching, I coach college wrestling, but through a football philosophy and a football mentality, and I'm big on team, and I love the dual meet. I love the team atmosphere. I think sometimes I get frustrated with the traditional wrestling people who really, the only reason they think that way through their philosophy of wrestling is because they've never participated in another sport in their life. If we ever took the Iowa style of mentality and applied that to other sports would think we're crazy. You know, it would be score a touchdown, go for two, onside kick, fourth and 20, you go for it. It's just crazy. Of go, 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 go. And I just don't believe in that. I just think there is, you got to remember, we don't, at the Division III level, we don't get college scholarship athletes. So the bottom line is sometimes we get a kid that he's not the best athlete. He can develop skills in wrestling to make him successful in our sport. Maybe a long, lanky guy who's not a high crotch single guy. What I excel at is I'm exceptional at helping kids develop what they're already good at, because I don't believe in trying to change a kid overnight, because by the time you change them, 4 years is up and they're gone. And that goes back to my vice principal days. You know, we'd sit in rooms and parents would complain about a kid who struggles in algebra, but the kid's excelling in English, you know, and everyone wants to focus on the fact that the kid is not doing well in math. Well, by the time you ramp that kid up and get him to a C-plus in math, we could have made him exceptional in reading and writing. So it's kind of go translate that into wrestling. You got a kid who's really good on top, and a kid is not the same kid's not very good on his feet. What we do is, like, yeah, we'll tighten up his neutral game, but at the end of the day, we're going to really take what he loves to do, and we're going to make him exceptional at it, and we're going to put him in his best positions as often as possible. And we're going to minimize his weaknesses and try to hopefully have some success with it. And we've done really well over the years with those types of kids and just kind of built on what they were already good at, instead of just making everyone good at what we do. You know, I find that, I see that a lot in wrestling. You know, and I, again, that's my football background, Kyle. I feel that, you know, if you've got a five big linemen or bruisers, you can go four yards in a clock. But if you don't have the linemen, you've got to spread it out, and your offense is going to be different, dictated on who's in front of you. And it's the same thing in wrestling. Depending on who we're coaching depends on what we're teaching. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And I think one of the techniques I hope you show, because I've seen a video, is of you on a rope doing the flying squirrel.
Yeah, that was a team building thing we did with our department. That was quite scary.
That was pretty cool. And we got a minute here, but it is cool that you have an East Coast team. And if you haven't been to a Division III NCAA tournament, it's special because you really do get a mixed bag. It's crazy because you only have a 16-man bracket, 16 to 18, depending. I think it's 18 for Division III, 16 for Division II. Yeah. But it's you don't know. A lot of times the Midwest guys don't see the East Coast guys, and you really get to meld those teams, and it's a lot of fun.
It is. We're getting excited for the national duels. We leave next week on the 3rd to go out to Fort Wayne, and it should be a great weekend of competition.
It's going to be a great test. We appreciate you coming on the program. I know you're ranked number one right now. I know you have big things to do, but Augsburg and Wartburg are out there looming. So all the best as you continue this historic run for Johnson and Wales University.
Kyle, thank you so much. Happy New Year.
All right. That was Lonnie Morris, head wrestling coach at Johnson and Wales University. We got that cleared up, Scott. It's more than a cooking school. You heard him talk about being a business school, too, and that's what they're founded on. So we've learned a lot here from three quality guests today. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate all the support that you give to On the Mat throughout the year. And thanks to Jason Bryant for having us on his podcast network, MattTalkOnline.com. Scott, thanks for being at the helm and producing another great show.
And let's keep on going for 2018.
2018 is upon us. For Shane Sparks, Dwayne Watson, and Lonnie Morris, I'm Kyle Klingman. You've been listening to On the Mat on 1650 The Fan.
You've been listening to On the Mat, the Cedar Valley's longest-running radio show devoted entirely to wrestling. Brought to you by Rolling Ford and the National Wrestling Hall of Fame Dan Gable Museum on 1650 The Fan.
This show is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.